You're listening to audio from the West End Community Church in McGregor, Manitoba.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the West End Community Church. Today is the third Sunday of Advent, and this week our theme is joy. Today we remember the meaning of Advent. Advent is a word that means coming. In the Christian season of Advent, we prepare for the advent of Christ at Christmas. Our preparation includes remembering. We remember Israel's hope for the coming of God's Messiah to save, forgive, and restore. We remember we are in darkness and exile, in need of a Savior. We remember our hope for the second coming of Jesus. By lighting one candle each week of Advent, we prepare to welcome Jesus Christ into our world and hearts. Today we focus on joy, because we know how the story ends.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this season of Advent that helps us prepare for the coming of Christ at Christmas. As we read your word and light a candle, may excitement for Christ's coming burn in our hearts. Amen.
Sing for joy, daughter Zion. Shout loudly, Israel. Be glad and celebrate with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has removed your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The King of Israel, the Lord, is among you. You no longer fear harm. On that day it will be said to Jerusalem, do not fear. Zion, do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is among you, a warrior who saves. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will be quiet in his love. He will delight in you with singing. I will gather those who have been driven from the appointed festivals. They will be a tribute from you and a reproach on her. Yes, at that time, I will deal with all who oppress you. I will save the lame and gather the outcasts. I will make those who are disgraced throughout the earth receive praise and fame. At that time, I will bring you back. Yes, at that time, I will gather you. I will give you fame and praise among all the peoples of the earth. When I restore your fortunes before your eyes, the Lord has spoken.
We light this candle because we know that God has come in Christ and that Christ will come again. We rejoice in God's work in history and in the future. Heavenly Father, as we light this candle, we rejoice in the birth of Jesus the Messiah, and we know that he will come again in glory. So even though the story isn't over, we rejoice in our hope. We wait for you, rejoicing. Amen.
Well, once again, good morning, everyone. I trust and I hope that you are all doing well. For the past couple of weeks, we have been looking at the songs of Christmas. And like I said before, even if you wanted to, there is no possible way for you to escape hearing Christmas songs over the next few weeks. You hear them on the radio, you hear them when you're shopping. At least most times, I guess you don't really hear them that often when you're shopping on Amazon, but I digress. In December, you are going to be inundated with Christmas carols. And that's not a bad thing. Musical expression is an integral part of the Christmas season, and I think the songs of Christmas are needed today. But the songs we are looking at aren't the ones that you're going to hear or sing this Christmas. We're discussing the original songs of Christmas, the divinely inspired lyrics recorded in the pages of Luke's gospel as part of the nativity story itself. And there are no musical notes that we know of given to these quote-unquote Christmas carols in the Bible, but when I read the spontaneous, poetic, and profoundly theological response of Mary in the book of Luke, I can't help but call that a song. When you read of John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking out from a previously mute voice with the voice of rejoicing and prophecy, I call that a song. And likewise, the sight of the angels appearing to the shepherds in a night sky and praising God in a heavenly chorus, that certainly is a song of Christmas as well. And it's that song, the song of the angels, that I'd like to focus on today. So would you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2 with me? Why don't we pray before we get started? Our God and Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that we can spend together. Even though we're not here in this sanctuary together, Father, I thank you that we can still spend this time looking into your word. And I pray that it would be profitable for us. I pray that we would be listening as you speak this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 2. Before we get to the angel song, we need to set the stage because a lot has happened since we left Mary at the home of Zechariah and Elizabeth. After the birth of John, Mary returned home to Nazareth, now in her second trimester. And while she was away, it seems her soon-to-be ex-fiancé, Joseph, received a heavenly vision. And the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, reassuring him that Mary had not been unfaithful, that she was indeed pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that Joseph should take her as his wife and name their son Jesus. And I'd like to think that Joseph is still in love with her and wants to do God's will, and we do, in fact, know that he does just what the Lord asks him to do. Joseph and Mary are married. However, the newlyweds' honeymoon was cut short by an announcement by Emperor Augustus that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire, and everyone was to register in their ancestral city. For Joseph, that city was Bethlehem. So for walking from Nazareth to Bethlehem, it was probably a four-day journey. Just imagine how long that must have seemed, especially when Mary was so pregnant. It's possible that Mary and Joseph traveled in a caravan of family and friends, but we don't know exactly how they traveled. And certainly with the rumors of Mary's pregnancy and the problems that that stirred up and the ruined relationship that Joseph had earned, they may not have had any family or friends to travel with. The truth is, the Bible doesn't really tell us anything about their journey, but it does tell us about their arrival. And Luke sums up the first Christmas night in short order, in two sentences. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son, and she wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth, and she laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Can you imagine what it would have been like that first Christmas morning? The stable, probably stinky, the ground hard, the hay scarce, cobwebs in the ceiling. I don't think there are many lowlier places of birth that could exist. Yet it was in those humble circumstances that the impossible happened. God entered the world as a baby. And 2,000 years later, we still celebrate the wonder, the humble beginnings, and the joy of Jesus' birth. But that first Christmas was a quiet celebration. There were no trees to trim. There were no decorations. There was no party, no hype, no hoopla. In fact, were it not for a group of certain poor shepherds watching their sheep in the fields where they lay, there would have been no reception at all. Now, I want us to take a look at this passage of Scripture that leads up to the angel's appearance and ultimately to their song. But I thought that instead of me reading the passage of Scripture today, I'd get somebody else to do it. It was on December 9th, 1965, that Charles Schulz's A Charlie Brown Christmas aired on the television for the first time. We try to watch it every year in our house. It's one of Claudette's favorite things about Christmas. So rather than me read the passage myself, I want to invite you to listen carefully as Linus explains to Charlie Brown what the true meaning of Christmas really is. The first guy you're going to hear is Charlie Brown asking the question, what is Christmas all about? Then listen to what Linus tells him.
I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
In just a few short sentences, the angel captured the essence of Christmas. It was a message for humanity that would echo throughout history. And even though we want to focus on the song of the angels, I think it's important that we don't skip by and ignore the message that came before the song. I want you to notice that the angel proclaimed the message. There's a reality here that God never plays hide and seek with us. He's always willing to disclose himself to the small band of shepherds, the most commonplace, ordinary people of the day. And he wants to be real to you today as well. And too many people express their concept of God as being far off and mysterious. But that's not what the scripture really indicate. The scriptures tell us that God wants to have this close and intimate relationship with you. Not only that, but I want you to notice that the angel proclaimed a powerful message. To bring such light of hope into a world of incredibly great darkness, it would have had to be a powerful beacon. You know, when I worked at camp, we had one of those, zillion watt searchlights for our night games. It was the kind of thing that seemed to turn the dark into day. And nothing and no one could hide from the power of that light. But that searchlight pales in comparison to the power of the light that Jesus brought to this world. The power in the message was that the people who had previously walked and stumbled around in darkness would now be walking in a great light. Jesus was here. He was sent to bring the forgiveness of sin and a new birth of eternal life and joy. That's the great light that dispels the darkness. That's the powerful message that the angels proclaimed. It wasn't only a powerful message, but it was a personal message. The angel said, "For unto you." This message was meant for humanity. It was meant for you. It was meant for me. It was meant for each and every person who has ever lived and died. Jesus came for all of us. This message was incredibly personal. And not only was it proclaimed, not only was it powerful, not only was it personal, but it was also very pertinent. This angel came to this world of doubt and uncertainty from his home in heaven with perfect knowledge that was given to him by God. And the announcement that he gave was good news that would be for who? For all people, for you and for me. And the reason is because we all have a great need. Somebody once said, if our greatest need would have been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. And if our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. But since our greatest need was forgiveness, God sent us a savior. This message was powerful. It was personal. And it was pertinent. It was just what we needed. But back to the song of the angels. Put yourself in the place of the shepherds for a moment. These shepherds were minding their own business, or rather their own sheep. It was just another night at the office. And probably the most exciting thing that had ever happened to them was, a visit from a prowling wolf, something like that. But then the Bible says, suddenly God's angel stood among them and God's glory blazed around them and they were terrified. Can you imagine what that would have been like? The sheer awestruck, adrenaline-fueled panic that they all felt. And as if one angel wasn't enough, after announcing the birth of Jesus, the angel was suddenly joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and singing that familiar song, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." That song, this angel chorus, this third song of Christmas, brief though it is, it underscores two wonderful results of Christ coming into the world that I want to highlight for you this morning. Will you let me show them to you? First, I want you to notice that Christmas brings praise to God. That's one of the things that this song illustrates. Luke said that suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God. And that phrase, great company, means that there were so many that it was impossible to count. The sky was filled with a multitude of mighty messengers. You can almost picture the excitement in heaven as word got out that God was sending a messenger to tell the people their Messiah had come. They had anticipated this day for centuries. Heaven must have emptied. And this song of Christmas is different from the others that we've seen in this series because it's not a chorus that rose up from a hymn or a her, but rather it was an anthem that came down to us from heaven. And the shepherds watched as heaven opened up and an endless fleet of angels passed through the veil until they occupied every square inch of the sky and they began to praise God, singing glory to God in the highest. Christmas, this time of year, the birth of Jesus, inspired all the host of heaven to praise God. And that's what Christmas does. The angels started it, but the shepherds continued it. After seeing the newborn Messiah for themselves, the Bible says, the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. But that's not the end of it. 8 days later, Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus met a man named Simeon in the temple, and the Bible says that he took the child in his arms and he praised God. And then moments after that, a woman named Anna came along, just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. When the wise men finally arrived, whenever that actually was, the Bible says when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. You see, the supposition here is very clear. Wise men and wise women still worship Jesus Christ at Christmas time. Christmas is all about giving glory to God. Is that not what we do here at West End whenever we meet together? And I think that's why music is such an important part of Christmas. Since the dawn of humanity, God's people have worshiped and praised him through song. One of the more popular Christmas carols is Angels We Have Heard on High. And there's actually a story behind that song. According to history, on Christmas Eve, there were shepherds in the hills of France that would sing and call to each other from hillside to hillside, and they would call Gloria in Excelsis Deo. And in the distance, another shepherd would respond, and the words would echo throughout the countryside. And the people that were living in the villages nearby, the shepherd's song actually sounded like the angels calling to one another in celebration of the birth of Jesus. And that's what Gloria in Excelsis Deo actually means. It's a Latin for glory to God in the highest. So my question to you this morning is this: are you giving glory to God this Christmas? No matter what the circumstances are, I know the circumstances aren't ideal. I know that you would rather be here. I know that you would rather be able to be at huge family gatherings and all the other things that we are missing right now. But putting that all aside, are you giving glory to God this Christmas? Does the birth of Jesus inspire you to praise and worship him? If praise and worship isn't a central component of your Christmas season, then you are missing the real meaning of Christmas. You're like Charlie Brown standing there shouting, "Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?" According to the angel song, Christmas is about glorifying God. Christmas brings praise to God. That's the first thing. But let me show you one other thing about what the angel's song tells us about Christmas. Here's the second thing. Christmas brings peace to the godly. When you think of Christmas, peace may or may not be the first word that comes to mind for you. For many of us, it's just the opposite: stressful, busy, hectic, demanding. I read a story this week about two men whose families lived next door to each other. The husbands opted to go sailing while their wives went Christmas shopping. An unexpected storm surprised the sailors as they were out on the ocean. And before long, the weather started getting really rough, and their tiny boat got tossed around on the waves, nearly capsizing a half dozen times. And then, while heading into the harbor, the boat hit a sandbar and it was grounded, and both men had to jump overboard into the icy water and begin to push and shove in an attempt to get the sailboat into deeper water. Knee-deep in mud and repeatedly bounced against the hull by unfriendly waves, one of them turned to the other and said with a smile, "This sure beats Christmas shopping, doesn't it?" Peace can seem pretty elusive sometimes, especially around Christmas time, don't you think? But that's the very reason that Jesus came into our world. He came to bring us peace. The angel chorus announced it: glory to God in the highest, and on earth, what? Peace. Peace among those with whom he is pleased. Peace is an important part of the gospel. The word peace appears over 400 times in Scripture. And the word translated peace in Hebrew is actually shalom. And it's often used as a greeting. We've talked about this before. But it has a rich, deep meaning. Shalom is a feeling of contentment, a feeling of wholeness and harmony that is intended to resonate in all your relationships. In Isaiah chapter 9, the prophet Isaiah described Jesus as Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. Before going to the cross, Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you," from John 14. And when Jesus appeared to them again after rising from the dead, what was his first word to them? John 20, 21, "Peace be with you." The very thing that they didn't have was the very thing that he offered. And you can extrapolate that into any part of the reason why Jesus came. He came to offer us what we didn't have. Peace, the gospel, forgiveness of sin. Let me give you three things about this peace that the angels are talking about here. Because Christmas brings us peace with God. I mean, that's the true story of Christmas, right? Apart from Christ, we are at odds with God. God is holy, righteous, and good, and we aren't. But because of the babe that is lying in the manger, you and I can be made new, because Jesus came to clothe us in his own righteousness and bring us into God's eternal family. Christmas brings us peace with God. Secondly, Christmas brings us the peace of God. I mean, Paul speaks of this peace when he writes in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Jesus Christ." See what he's saying? Thanks to Jesus, we can go to God in prayer. We can lay out all our anxieties, all our worries at his feet. And we can, and the promise is transcendent peace in our hearts and in our minds. And yet, here's the sad news. Because although God offers his peace to everyone, not everyone experiences his peace. That's why the angel specified peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Praise has to come before peace. When we give God the highest glory, when we honor and accept Christ as our Savior and Lord, that's when the promise of peace comes. That's when we'll experience the peace of Christmas. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came for the glory of God and the good of all people. We could say it this way: peace comes to those who praise him, and grace to those who give him glory. Because the highest degree of glory to God is connected with the giving of his Son. It all starts in heaven with God's perfect plan, and it arrives on earth where peace comes to those who personalize the message. It's available to all, but activated only for those who believe and embrace not just the baby in the manger, but also the man on the cross. That is the reality and the true meaning of Christmas. It's the reason for the season. It's the change that the little baby in the manger can make. And you ask, what change can the witness of a child in a manger make? An author by the name of Bret Harte, one of American literature's great authors, wrote about life on the American frontier. And one of his most famous stories is about the baby of Roaring Mine Camp. Roaring Mine Camp was about 80 miles out of Sacramento. There was a woman of questionable repute who lived at the camp, and one day she died, leaving behind a tiny little baby. And the rough and the hard men said, "We have to do something about this baby." And they had a wooden crate for a bed, but One of the men decided that it wasn't fit for this baby, so he sent to Sacramento for a rosewood cradle. And the cradle was wonderful and beautiful, but its beauty highlighted the dirty clothes that they had dressed the little baby in. So back to Sacramento for some nice clothes. And then they saw that the floor was dirty, and they cleaned that. And then they cleaned the walls, the windows, and the ceiling. And the baby had to have some rest, so the carousing and the partying and the drinking ceased. They said, "The baby's asleep. We have to be quiet." When spring came, they took the child outside and up to the mine where they worked. But it was so bare and dirty, and so they began to clean up the litter, and one planted flowers to beautify it. And some of the men began to shave regularly and even wash up. In short, the presence of one tiny baby transformed that old, rough, roaring mine camp into a beautiful place of changed people. That, ladies and gentlemen, is representative of what happens when Jesus comes into a life. When we give ourselves to him that he might be Lord and Savior, there is a change that comes into life. And we begin to live differently, and the changes are seen, and our lives are different because Jesus came to make a difference. That's the greatest news. Christmas means that you can be born again. He can come into your heart. He can change your world. We can say together, "For unto me a Savior is born." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for Christmas. I thank you that you have given us your word, you have given us the truth, and you have given us your son. And I just can't imagine what life would be like without that knowledge. I thank you that you didn't leave us alone, that you didn't leave us on our own, but you provided us a way out. And I thank you for the message that it starts here. This time of year is representative of where your plan was set into motion when you sent your son Jesus as a little baby. And I thank you for this Christmas. Father, I pray that you would just bind us together. Even though that we can't be together, would you bind us together in unity? Father, give us the wherewithal and the wisdom to know who needs a call, who needs just a text message or just a checkup. Father, I thank you for our church, and I pray that these restrictions, this pandemic, I pray that it would be over soon. But until that time, Father, give us the wherewithal to persevere and help us to focus not so much on the virus, the restrictions, the masks, the petty arguments that are going back and forth. But Father, help us to remember and to focus on you, to give you the glory and the honor. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace on whom his favor rests. Father, we give you the glory today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I trust and I pray that you are all well, and I can't wait to see you all again. On behalf of Pastor Matt and Beth, Claudette, and myself, we just want you to know that we love you very much. Take care.